Father, we just thank you. We praise you right now, Lord Jesus, just for who you are tonight, oh God, today, this morning, this afternoon. We thank you and praising you, God, for your goodness and all of your mercy. And Father, as I come right now, Lord Jesus, before your presence, oh God, I just need for you to just eliminate myself, oh God. And I find that I am available for you, God, but the only way that I can be used by you, I have to empty out Jesse's thoughts, Jesse's mind frame. Jesse, everything has to leave. And I just have to rely on the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me to lead and guide me right now in the name of Jesus. Because I don't want to be here with all kinds of form and fashion or trying to hip-hop or just trying to make somebody feel good. But I want the Holy Ghost to move inside of me and God so that it will change somebody's life. It will set somebody on fire other than myself. Hallelujah. Because I need the word too. But God, I thank you. I thank you for what you've done here already this morning, oh God. And Lord, I know that there's even greater that you're going to do. Thank you for moving in this place, oh God. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your anointing in the name of Jesus. So now have your way and continue to bless, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And all God, we say amen, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. There is no condemnation. Hallelujah to those who are in the Lord. Hallelujah. We know that, right? Well, I got a lot. But I know I can't do it all. Okay. But I got a lot. I got a whole lot. But I know I can't do it all. You know, we've been in this study about the architecture of grace. Minister David, he spoke on the first week, opening us up, talking about the mirror and the mask. And if you take off the mask and see the real you was his subject, and he talked about that. And what happens when we take the mask off? Amen. And sometimes when we take the mask off, sometimes it should be that we see godliness in us, but sometimes when we take it off, we don't see that. Amen. Even though we've done what we're supposed to do. Amen. He talked about we are the workmanship. We are the workmanship that God has created us and made us perfectly the way he wanted us to be. And many times we don't feel that. We don't feel it, but God said, this is us. And this is how we are. Hallelujah. Indiana came back the second week, and she talked about the quotas, the gods of a quota. And she brought out to the point of talking about the quota. If God put a quota on stuff, man, we probably would be in trouble. We'd be in trouble. And that's what I got away, took away from that, is that God don't put no quota on anything. You know, it's almost like there is no limits on anything, man. If we just do what God says do, then our life will just work out fine. Amen. Yeah, everything will go fine. And so she talked about the sacrifice and the mercy of God and grace. You know, and her favorite saying is that those are the twins. Grace and mercy and grace are the twins. This morning I want to talk to you about the finger pointing. That's what I'm going to talk to you about today, the pointing finger. And I'm going to tell you something. There is so much that I grasp from out of this lesson, out of these few little scriptures that I had from Romans. We're going to read Romans, the 8th chapter, and Isaiah 58 and 9. But Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 1 and 2, and then 31 to 34 are my scriptures for the day. And in the process of that, I'm going to be talking about a few other things as well. But I want to focus on I'm going to bring this up. I want to read the scriptures to you first of all. And I'm reading now the Amplified. And also I have it cut up on the NIV as well. But the Amplified is the Bible that I got right now. It says here, I want you to get your Bible. Get your Bible. Amen. Romans, the 8th chapter. Amen. My God, my God.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
And verse 1, and we all know this anyway, because we all have said and heard, done heard this scripture, done read it over and over again. And it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. And my Bible says, because I'm reading out the Amplified, it says, no judgment, no judging, no judging guilt or wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dedicated of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So not walking after the flesh, but after the dedicated of the Spirit. So walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, according to what your Bible might say is walking after the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit is life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new beginning, our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and of death.
Amen.
So today I want to bring that out, and let me read the other scripture here in verse 31. I'm going to just read all these scriptures because my notes is just going to go right through there. So I'm going to get this out of the way. All right. 31 says, what then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Come on.
Who can be our foe?
Mm-hmm.
If God is on our side, so who can work against you if God is on your side? Verse 32 says, "He who did not withhold or spare even his own son,
mm-hmm.
but gave him up for all of us, for us all. He will not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things." So he's going to take care of us. Bottom line. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect?
Mm-hmm.
Who shall bring him?
Mm-hmm.
When it is God who justified, that is, who put us in the right relationship to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, God's put us together.
Mm-hmm.
Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits us? Verse 34 says, who is there to condemn us?
Yeah.
Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather, who has raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as an intercessor for us? And of course, your Bible would probably go down and say that he's interceding for us regularly on a daily basis. And sometimes we forget the fact that Jesus is intercessing for us. He's talking to the Father on a daily basis for us all the time. We used to hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk to you about finger pointing the finger. And I want to leave you this subtopic because mine was the pointing finger, finger pointing, and I'm going to break down the two points of finger pointing and pointing the finger, because there is two dynamics in that, okay? But I want to talk to you about my theme today is that in Christ, accusation is His accusations is to silence accusation and condemn Brain condemnation is canceled out. Mm-hmm. But we're going to silence the accusations that are being made, mm-hmm. you know, because that's what happens. A lot of times, that's what happens with us. It's a lot of accusations, but we're in church, and we find that people, we're going to find that, and I'm going to bring it out, that people, give me a minute, y'all. Y'all probably say, you know what we're talking about? Yes, I do. But I just got so much going through my head. I'm looking at my notes, but I got so much going through my head. And accusations is silence, and condemnation is canceled. Okay? All right. So that's what we're going to be talking about. That's what I'm going to try to bring out to you to the point where you be understand. You'll walk out of here with a better understanding about the fact is that we can beat accusations. We can beat it because we have the power and authority to do so. Can somebody turn the air on? Getting warm up in here. Mm-hmm. So in Isaiah 58 and 9, it says that that's the other scripture that I will be reading from. It says that God says that He'll take away the yoke from among us, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. All the wicked talk. That's in Isaiah 58 and 9. I'm going to turn there right quick. I'm going to get up here in a minute. See, I normally have my phone up here, and I'll be going through my phone. I got everything on my phone, but my phone is right there. So, Isaiah, and we have been talking through Isaiah 58 last lesson season that we were talking. We were using Isaiah 58, and all of us went through that period of Isaiah 58. Talked about when we was talking about fasting. But in verse 9, it says that then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry, and He will say, "Here am I."
Yes.
And if you take away from your, he says, if you take away from your midst yokes of oppression, mm-hmm. whereas you find them, the finger pointed in scorn towards the opposition or the godly. And even formed of a false, harass, unjust, and wicked speaking. So this would be taken away. And this is what was happening during this time of Isaiah in 58. They were fasting during the time of fasting. They called themselves, consecrating themselves, getting to the point where they were just, they can do the things. They thought they was doing the right thing, but they wasn't doing the right thing. They were fasting. They was just doing unto themselves, but they wasn't doing it the way that God wanted them to do. And so the Lord spoke to Isaiah and told him to come and let them know that you got to stop cutting. You got to stop doing it this way. Mm-hmm. All right. So the pointing finger represent blame, accusations, judgment, and shame. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of what we find here is that we find that Adam pointed the finger at Eve, and Eve pointed the finger at the serpent. Religious leaders pointing at sinners. They think that they're saying that they, you know, sinners are the reason why things are going bad, you know what I'm saying? And we can look at even in a social sense, in a political sense, is that the world is saying the same thing. You look at the way our society is right now, is that you know, the government is pointing the finger at the poor people. You feel what I'm saying? And the folks that's less fortunate are suffering because they're pointing the finger at them. Mm. Amen?
Amen.
But here we find that when you begin to start pointing the finger, you are not the problem all the time.
Yeah.
The person that's pointing the finger may very well be the problem. Mm. But they try to say that you're the problem, or you're disqualified, you don't qualify, or you'll never change. Amen. But God says that the revival cannot happen until accusation, where accusation lives. Where we begin to start keep on making all of these accusations, then the revival cannot start. We can't have a right revival. We can't see the fullness of God being manifested as long as we doing this.
Yeah.
And it's bad, you know, because we do it in the church. We still doing it in the church. You might want to hit it off because I see some people to wrap them. But you find that this happens is happening in the church, big time in our church. We know in the government that it is, but we don't want to talk about the church because this is what Paul was talking to. Paul was talking to the church. He was letting the church know, hey, listen, guys, this is where we got to begin. In order for the fullness of God to come forth, we got to do some things different.
Yeah.
We can't keep on doing what we're doing. You can't point the finger at somebody, and then you realize we already know. If you point one finger, three fingers come back at you.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Of course, we already know that, and we've heard that so many times. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. The enemy uses accusations. They use them to come up against you. The adversary operates through condemnation. You see what I'm saying? He does that. But we have to realize that there is no condemnation because God has already paid the price. We say it all the time that He's paid the price.
That's right.
So here we must realize who you are and who you are. Who you are. Who are you? Because see, here's the thing about it is that the enemy will constantly make you feel like you're nobody.
That's right.
And this is what it talks about. He'll make you feel like that you're not worth anything, that you're a failure.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not Romans. That's not what Romans saying. The Romans saying that he says that therefore there is no condemnation.
That's right.
Not none.
Yeah.
To them which are in Christ Jesus. So you that are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. There's nothing that you have to worry about.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
And we say, yeah, Pastor, but yet and still, I'm going through some hell and high water. Yeah, Pastor, my body's still going through pain. Yeah, but all of these things, but you have to realize that greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world.
That's right.
That you can do all things through Christ because Christ strengthens you.
Yes.
No weapons formed against you can even prosper.
Yeah.
But no condemnation, it means that there is no guilty burden. And regardless, as I was reading this and I was studying this, I realized that Paul kind of made himself like he was a lawyer in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Amen. And he was standing up for righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But he's pronounced that there is no guilty verses. There is no spiritual death sentence. No condemnation. When there is no condemnation working in our, we are alive and living well. No divine rejection. Now, because the law of Jesus, the law of the Spirit has overridden this law of death.
Yes.
It has.
Thank God.
So the finger may point at you.
Thank God.
But it has no legal authority over
yes.
you.
Yes.
See, and that's what we got to realize. And, oh, yeah, you pointed your finger at me. You did this and then you did that. You know what I'm saying? And we get mad. But we shouldn't get mad. I heard somebody say that one said something earlier. Said that when the Spirit of the Lord is inside of you, you don't have no reason to get mad with
that's
folks.
Right.
And I think that's something that we have to check ourselves, begin to start checking ourselves all the time on the basis that no matter what happens in our life, we're gonna stand up for righteousness because righteousness is in us.
Yeah.
The righteousness of God is in us.
Uh-huh.
Paul points out in verses 38, 31 to 34, Paul talks about, he makes it seem like he's in a courtroom. He questioned. He said, if God is before us, who can be against us? And we have to question that all the time. And I know we say, yeah, well, you know what? Adam sinned. He made the first sin. And Eve did. They both sinned in the garden. Yes. But we can't dwell on that. We dwell so much on these different things that really don't mean nothing for us. They can't help us.
That's right.
Well, you know, that was in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
But God never told me. Only thing God said is you can't come back.
That's right.
You can't come back to this home. So you got to make your own home.
Right.
But you can't come back. But you still, I still leave you with everything that I left with you. Mm-hmm. You still got the authority. You still got the power. You still got the anointing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because there is no condemnation.
No condemnation.
And maybe you might not feel like, because Christ wasn't born yet, but still the fact that you are part of me.
Yes.
And I'm part of you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So who? Mm-hmm. Who shall, who? And the Lord said, that nobody can come up against us. Mm-hmm. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is what Paul said. Who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemneth? Nobody has the right to condemn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're living in a day and time now where people are condemning all the time. Mm-hmm. They look at you and they say, look, you got them clothes on. Why you got them clothes on? You ain't got nothing to come better than you to come to church with. And you know what I'm saying? Look at them shoes you got on. But look, but we are not in a position to condemn.
Right.
Because God has saved us. God has delivered us. God has set us free.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But here's the answer to all of that, because God who justifies, hallelujah, God, Christ, who died, just what I said, and it's Christ who rose again.
All right.
And it's Christ who's interceding for us all the time.
Yes.
He is the one who's doing it. Even when we don't even say a word.
Amen.
Even when we don't even usher a praise unto him, he is still interceding for us.
Yes. Okay.
So the only hand in this courtroom matter is the one that has a nail prince in his hand.
Yes.
That's the one who's making a deal for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And those hands are pointing at you.
Yes.
They are interceding for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Every day. And we talk about, Jesus, we know that I like Peter, like Thomas would say, if I can only see the scars, if I can put my hand in his saint, if I can just touch the holes, his hands and the side, and you know, just to see his feet, and know that that's Jesus, you know, because everybody else seen him, because he wasn't there at the time. He just didn't believe that he was there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes just because we don't see him, like that brother was just saying, he's invisible, but he's really not invisible. Amen. He's there, but we sometimes, even though we don't see that he's there, he's always there. He's never leave us, never forsake us. He's always there.
Always.
And somebody said, when we call on him, he might not come when we want him, but he's always on time.
Yes.
So we're never left out.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah says, he says, remove the pointing finger. Mm. This is what he says. He said, you got to remove the pointing finger. You can't let the pointing finger stop you from being where you're supposed to be or who God has called you to be. Paul said, there is no condemnation now because you're in Christ Jesus. So here it is. Your life has been changed. Your mind has been changed. Every part of you has been transformed. And when grace takes over, it stops the accusations.
Yes.
It stops the accusers. It stops those who condemning others. It stops.
Yeah.
And we got to stop doing these things, because the power of God will do it.
All right.
But we got to stop doing it. We got to stop rehearsing failure. We got to do it. Because Jesus didn't come pointing finger. He came lifting up. He came lifting us up. He came. And we always say, the word says, if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him.
Yes.
And Jesus lifted his own self up. And the more he lifted his own self up, the more men was drawn to him. And we got to do the same thing.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But we must realize that nobody can stop us from going in the direction that God wants us to go. I'm just talking about saved people. I'm just talking about people in the church. I'm just talking about us just being restored back to where we started. supposed to be. I'm just talking about just the fact is that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But do we know who we are really? Do we know our authority in Christ? Do we really know who God has called us to be? See, where religious people point, Christ restores. He brings restoration. See, and this is what he does. See, and we're in a time now where we're seeing religious folks doing so many different things. We're seeing the churches falling left and right. We're seeing them coming to people, stealing and taking everything from the people. But God is tired of that stuff, man. He's getting tired of us. He wants to restore us back to him.
Hallelujah.
That's all right.
So John, the 8th chapter of John, John talked about Jesus. He was talking about the woman that was caught in adultery. He talked about that woman. Jesus saw the woman and he came over there and he pointed at her. Hallelujah. And there was that woman. That woman was sitting there and she had committed adultery.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. And everybody was ready to stone her. Hallelujah. They was ready to stone her because that was the law. If you get caught in sin, amen, they stone you. In adultery, they stone you. They put you in the courthouse and they rock you to death.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Not rock you to life, but they rock you to death. And there was men that were standing up there and they pointed at this woman and because they saw what this woman was, but Jesus saw what she wasn't. Hallelujah. What he saw was something different inside of her. Like we always say, Pastor Donald, you always say, that person is a stealer soul. Regardless of what they're going through, they steal a soul. No matter how much sin is in their life, they're still a soul. And we have to realize that woman was still a soul. And Jesus came down, he bent himself down and began to write in the dust. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. Excuse me. Hallelujah. And then they had their stones and they were ready to stone this woman to death. And then there came a stone. And then he said, like, wait a minute. Jesus said, hey, wait, you that are without sin, you can go ahead on and cast the first stone. Hallelujah. And then the Bible said he got down there when he started writing on the ground. And then he said, then when he got up, he turned around.
Come on.
And he says, where's your accusers? They came with stones. But Jesus came with mercy. Hallelujah. One by one, the fingers dropped. So all those that were pointing their fingers dropped their fingers and walked away. Stones just began to fall to the ground. And I can only imagine what it sounded like when all those people around and everybody got stones, men, women, and boys and girls. Everybody got a stone because everybody wanted to rock this woman. Hallelujah. But Jesus was right there. Hallelujah. And all you could hear was stones just hitting the ground. Hallelujah. And the only voice that was left. Hallelujah. The only voice that was left. Hallelujah. Not to condemn this woman. Hallelujah. Not to condemn her for what she did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But to restore her back to the Father. Hallelujah. So at this point, this is the part where Romans begin to work in action, begin to move in action. This is the action part of condemnation. And see, no matter what we go through, no matter what life what going on in our life, help me, Holy Ghost, no matter what we're doing, hallelujah, God is always there. And see, regardless of whether somebody might be seeing your wrongdoing, don't worry about it. But you just have to go back to God and just do like God. Jesus told this woman, just now go and sin no more.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, God have me, Holy Ghost.
All right.
So here, I got three ways the finger pointing, hallelujah, shows up in three ways. The first way is through other people's voices.
Uh-huh.
Through other people's voices. They may not point their finger at you, per se, but their voices are pointing their finger at you.
Amen.
They saying all kinds of evil about you. Hallelujah. They don't like the way you talk. They don't like, they're jealous about the way your job, where you make money, your job that you have, your education. They just don't like you, period. And so they just put their mouth on you. We see it all the time. People put their mouth on us all the time. Yeah. They put their mouth on me all the time, but I don't care about it anymore. I done got to the point where for Jesus I live and for Jesus I die. So you can talk about me any way you want. You can say all manner of evil about me because it's not going to change what God is doing inside of me. And what God is doing inside of me, he's doing a great work. And as long as I know that God is doing a great work in me, so your voice don't mean nothing to me. Hallelujah. So you can point your voice at me all day long. And see, this is the attitude that we got to do. It comes from the church. It comes from the family. The family, the church hurt, the past mistakes, they throw it up in your face. Remind you when you was a drug dealer. Remind you when you used to be out there in the streets. Remind you when you was doing all manner of evil. And they forget about the good. They don't remember the good things about you. The second one is the enemy whispers, hallelujah, telling you in your ear that you're not worthy, hallelujah, telling you that you're worth nothing, that you're worthless, hallelujah. Look at yourself in the mirror and tell you that you don't look good, hallelujah. Look at you, you're all ugly and fat, worn out, ain't nobody gonna want you. I remember when I was growing up, when I was a youth, hallelujah, I used to hate to look at myself in the mirror. I might not have been a bad looking boy, you know, a young guy, but I just didn't like looking at myself in the mirror. I don't know why, but I looked at myself in the mirror and somebody said, how do you get dressed? I just put my clothes on and just went on. I washed my face and brushed my teeth and went on, but I just didn't look in the mirror. Then one day, I just looked in the mirror, looked at myself in the mirror, and I was saying, wow, I just don't look that bad. I don't know what it was. It was a complex. And sometimes that's what we have. We have these complexes, inferior complexes, that a low self-esteem and keep us from doing and just focusing on ourselves. But look at yourself and tell yourself, you look good. Hallelujah. Tell yourself that you are somebody. Hallelujah. Because see, the enemy is going to whisper in your ear and tell you you ain't nobody. Tell you ain't worth nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or you tell you that you've gone too far. Hallelujah. You've gone too far. You shouldn't have done that.
Go ahead.
You shouldn't have done that. Why'd you do that? Ooh, Lord have mercy. You've gone too far now. You just done gone too far now. We just.
Thank
you. Hallelujah.
My God.
Makes me think about a time when a man came up and told me, said something to me, said, I can talk about me all day long. I can't talk about y'all folk, but I can talk about me. I came up to me and tell me, say, you need to get out of the way so somebody else can help. You need to get out of the way so that somebody else can do something. Like, man, what's wrong with you? I'm doing what God told me to do. Okay? And you got to do what God told you to do. But I'm doing what God told me to do. So you can't tell me. And see, you know, he thought I was going to get nervous. He thought I was going to get nervous and just say, okay, well, what do you want to do? No, first of all, your spirit ain't right, brother.
Right.
First of all, you outside of the will of God. First of all, brother, you ain't going to tell me that God ain't speaking to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know they tell you that. Yeah. They try to tell you that. And that's just to make you feel bad. But you got to tell them, get out of the way.
Get out.
And here's the third one. The third one is your own internal critic. It's your own internal critic. You tell yourself, yourself will tell you that you need to be more. Well, you know what? I want to sing on the praise team, but I just don't feel like I got what it takes. My voice ain't right. I would beat the drums, but I'm afraid to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the drums ain't gonna work going nowhere. You'll beat them to death. And they gonna still be the same way. So tomorrow, beat them to death. Today, they gonna be there. Beat them to death tomorrow. They gonna be right there. Beat them to death. So I would play the organ. I want to play the organ, but you know what I'm saying? Your inward self begin to beat you up.
Yeah.
Man, I would go out here and just do all these, you know, sometimes we just feel like that we want to do some things, but yet and still, we do not allow ourselves to do it because of our inward critics.
Yeah.
We criticize ourselves because we make ourselves feel low or less than what we are.
That's right.
Stop telling yourself that you're nobody, that you're not able to. Self-condemnation is often the loudest accuser. Man, it is the loudest accuser. That is the loudest. Sounds off real loud. But Romans 8 declares that case dismissed. He says that case dismissed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Charges dropped.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sentence is canceled. And I remember way back 50 years ago. I'm telling you, this happened to me 50 years ago. And I will tell this testimony to the day that I die. When I came here to Virginia in 1975, and I got into trouble, and I had to go down to 811 in Norfolk, and because I had to turn myself in. And I wasn't big as 2 cents. I was a little skinny boy. I was 20 years old back then, and I had to go. But I went to the church, went to pastor prayed for me, told me it was going to be all right. But inside my spirit, that inward critic telling you, man, as I walked down there, downtown Norfolk to the jail, hallelujah, we got in the elevator and went up on the third floor and got in there and got to the detective's office. And them two white detectives sitting in there, man, they were all dressed up like FBI men and men from black. And all this, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm dressed up. I've been dressed up. You see what I'm saying? Even though I might be going to jail right now, but look, I went dressed up. I didn't go looking like a bummy. I didn't go looking like I was from the hood, even though I lived in the hood. I went dressed up. See, you got to put on another outfit. And so I went, but I went clothed in the goodness of God. And when I got there, the man spoke to me. He said, "Do you know the severity of this crime that you committed?" I said, "Yes, sir." I didn't say, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Or just shook my head. "Yes, sir." Spoke loud to him.
Yeah.
Well, they talked to me for a few minutes. And then, Sister K, they let me go. They gave me a card and told me that they would be in touch. 50 years ago, case dismissed.
Amen.
50 years ago, charges dropped.
Hallelujah.
50 years ago, sentence canceled.
Yes.
Never went nowhere.
No.
But I'm just saying this, that we just have to activate. The pastor just told me, he said, just believe God, just go and believe God and watch God do it. God will do it for you. I didn't know no better. My mama was believing God, you know what I'm saying? And she was younger then, and she seen me go up there and give my life to the Lord, and she just up there shouting, praising God, you know, like they used to do. We used to do that when people got saved, when people got healed, we just pray the Lord. Like that, it doesn't happen to us.
Yeah.
But no charges.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Case dismissed.
Yes.
50 years ago. Didn't even ever show up on my report.
Yes.
Never did. Would have thought that it would have showed up on your report.
Yes.
Nothing showed up on my report. Hallelujah. So I'm excited today. I don't know about you, but I'm just glad about the fact that because of Christ, Christ died and he was crucified and raised from the dead, and that we have a new life in him, that our old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new, and we walk in the victory of the Lord. Hallelujah. And even though you might have had a past that pointed at you, don't let it bother you.
Yeah.
Don't let it hold you back. Failure that pointed at you. Don't let that hold you back. Memories.
That's right.
Memories of your past. We're talking about the past thing. See, because we don't know future things. We haven't gotten there yet. But the enemy don't want you to get there. He's trying to stop you from getting there before you even get there. Because see, even though it says in Jeremiah 29:11, we quote this all the time, that our God, he has all already did what?
Already.
Plan the plan he said, he, the plan that he has already had for us, he already knows. Everything was predestined before we was even born.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But the enemy don't want you to get there. The enemy wants to stop you in your tracks.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But heaven says there is now no condemnation. The heaven is speaking, there's no condemnation there. The finger pointing that was pointed at you, hallelujah, now it's pointed at the cross, hallelujah, and the cross points at freedom. So we are free indeed now that God is living inside of us. We don't have nothing to worry about it anymore. And so no matter what we go through, remember that God is the one who will bring you out. Remember that God is the one that will take care of you. Hallelujah. You can't point at me anymore. Hallelujah. When God done justified me. Hallelujah. You can't condemn me anymore. When Christ has covered me, you can't cancel me out anymore. Because God has called me chosen. So I just praise God for the goodness of him. And there's nothing.
Yeah.
I don't care how challenged you see.
Hallelujah.
I don't care how many challenges come in your life. Remember that God, there is now no condemnation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has set us free. We are free, literally walking in the liberty of God. Hallelujah. Our life has been transformed. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind, as it says in Romans. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 12, right? Hallelujah. 1 and 2. Amen. We've been transformed by the renewing of our minds. Hallelujah. That old, and as it says in First Corinthians 5 and 17, now all things are passed away and old things have become new. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature. I have a new identity. Hallelujah. I don't operate on the identity. And just like I told y'all over Jamestown, that God has gave me a new ID. Hallelujah. I don't have to have no style on my ID. Hallelujah. I don't have to have this on my ID because he's given me a new ID. So now I'm covered under the blood. And that's Pastor Donna used to say, I'm an alien. I'm no longer a part of this world because God has transformed me. I'm a real new creature.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We used to say that all the time. We used to scream out that we're aliens. Hallelujah. But I thank God for Jesus and thank God for the word. And God, just have your way right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I know there's so much more that I can bring out. I have other pages, but God, I just thank you because you said stop. Have your way right now in Jesus' name. And I pray that the word is just, I feel your anointing, Lord God. I feel it. I know it's just like a heat, but I feel your anointing that's in this room, oh God. I feel it moving, hallelujah, inside of me and in this place, oh God. I just asking you to have your way in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, just touch us right now, Lord Jesus. Let these words, oh God, let them resonate in our spirit, oh God, in our soul right now, in the name of Jesus. And Father, there's so much more that we can talk about pointing the finger and the finger pointing. But, you know, Lord Jesus, you just say, just stop.
That's right, God.
And so, Lord, we just give you praise now.
Yes.
And Lord Jesus, let your word just continue just flow in our hearts.
Yes.
Bless us right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.